Blog Talk Radio. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I'm so glad to be here with you today. We are having a cloudy day in Southern California, and rain is predicted for 5 days straight. That does not make us happy out here, but the sun will come back out. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Rocky Romanella. He's going to talk about what it takes to be a leader and what part communicating authentically plays. My very best subject, how to speak authentically. He's the founder, president, and CEO of 360 Management Services, and he's also author of the book, Tighten the Lug Nuts. He inspires people to go after their dreams no matter where they are in their life and career. Welcome to the show, Rocky. It's great to have you here today.
Well, thanks, Mari. It's great to be on. It's great to talk to you. Yeah, you got some June gloom going on, but it's not June, huh? What's that all about?
It's not June, exactly. That's my complaint. It's crazy here. It's the rainy season. It never rains in Southern California, so the song says, not true. Because when it rains, it pours for 5 days straight. I get a little bit of New York, actually.
That's true. So, it's going to be we're getting a cold spell here in New York, so we're preparing ourselves for the winter blast hitting the Northeast.
Oh, man, I'm glad I'm out of there. I grew up in New York City, and that's the one thing I didn't like about New York, the very cold weather, the below zero temperatures, the snow when it froze. That wasn't fun. So let's talk a little bit about how you came to do the work you currently do, Rocky.
Well, thanks for asking. And by the way, before I start, congratulations, 4,100. That's a great milestone for you, and now you're in the Philippines and Costa Rica. So congratulations. Sounds like the message is getting out there. So let me start by saying congratulations on your show as well.
Thank you so much.
Yes, a great show. I love listening to it. So for me, the concept of legacy is so important. And this concept of legacy means you leave things a little better than you found them. Are people better because of their time with you? And so for me, I thought about this concept of legacy, and I thought about the career I had and all the wonderful people I had the opportunity to work with, who worked with me, mentored me, and I had the opportunity to work with and mentor along the way as well. And I thought, well, with over 40 years of business, why not give back a little bit? And why not take this opportunity to think about my career and think about the lessons I learned and the great experiences that I had? And the learning experience, as you know, failure sometimes gives you the greatest learning experiences. Think about some of the things that I learned from and say, why not help and give back? And so for me, this opportunity to start this company, 360 Management Services, where there's a keynote speaking part of it, there's leadership training, and then a consulting piece, gives me and some of the partners I work with at 360 the opportunity to maybe to give back a little bit, to take our knowledge and experience and to help companies and help people along the way. So for me, it really gets back to that legacy. Do you leave things a little better than you found them in all parts of your life and in all the things that you do, both in your personal and professional life?
That's wonderful. I love that, Rocky, because it tends to be, in our society, it tends to be all this competition. This company is competing against that company, but you're going out there and helping people continue their companies, maybe start companies, and you're spreading that knowledge. I remember when I first started working, it was in the World Trade Center in New York City, and somebody I worked with, I can't even remember their name, told me, don't tell anybody the things you know. Don't teach anybody what you know, because then your job, your job could be their job. And I just looked at them because I thought that was the weirdest thing. So I love that you want to spread your knowledge. I think that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. And I also think it kind of reinforces the wonderful things you've learned. And it kind of, think about all the people who took the time to spend with me along the way and helped me along the way. And, I think that that's where I think that whole concept of legacy comes in is what do you take the most pride in? And for me, the most pride is you train and develop people. Who are the people that work for you that went on to, bigger and better things? It's funny. I talk about this legacy a lot, and I think sometimes people get kind of hung up in a title. They think that leadership is about a title. Am I a manager or supervisor or CEO, whatever that title is? And I think we're all leaders at one time or another. And each of us, you know, plays a leadership role, whether it's in the PTA or whether it's on the soccer field, a little league, as a parent, grandparent. And so, and I think about some of the greatest leaders, and I think sometimes people always think that it has to be a business leader or someone in a position of authority. Well, go no further. Mm-hmm. I think some of the greatest leaders are teachers. And if you think about it from this perspective, you know, if you think about it from this perspective, if we were in a room and I was given a keynote speech and I asked the group, who's your local state representative or who's the head of the board of ed in your town, most people couldn't answer that. But if I asked the question, who's that teacher that made a difference in your life, everybody stops, tilts their head. Oh, Miss So-and-so, fifth grade. Mr. So-and-so, sixth grade. There's always that teacher who's made a difference in their lives that made it better for them and helped them connect the dots. Well, by that extension and that concept of legacy, then we're all, and they're some of the greatest leaders. So if each of us can think about, you know, our ability to make things a little better than we found them and to impact people in a positive way, and the way we go about doing our business, the way we go about doing our work, the way we interact with each other as neighbors or friends or family members, if we leave things a little bit better than we found them, we're creating a really good legacy, and we're really giving back and creating a place that's better for all of us.
That's wonderful. And I am a life coach and relationship coach, which does require teaching. I always wanted to be a teacher and never really followed that field, but I get to teach now. And you were just touching on this a moment ago. As a teacher, you learn from your students. You know, they're not the only ones learning. We're learning as well. So there's a give and take there that's absolutely beautiful. And I'm glad that you brought up that teachers are leaders. So many people are leaders that do not get recognized. You know, you're not in the news, you're not on TV, yet you're leaders and you're changing lives. The things that we say to people can change their lives. A smile to a grocery store clerk can change their life. A compliment. Sometimes I compliment their earrings because I just love earrings and I love jewelry. And that could change their life because it means they matter and all of us matter. I think that's the main thing. So what's the best part of being a mentor, you know, to these corporate up-and-coming leaders?
Well, I think it's what you just – it's kind of, you know, what you just talked about. It's your ability to take what you've learned and mm-hmm. maybe be impactful in the way you work with them, train them, and help them gain that confidence. You know, early on, it's funny, when I started at UPS, you know, I had the fortune – it was just a great opportunity. I worked there for 36 years. But along the way, there were times when UPS tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, we have this new assignment for you, a new responsibility for you. And I may not have always been ready, or my self-confidence may not have been where it needed to be, right? But mm-hmm. the thing that was wonderful is I learned is that UPS believed in Rocky Romanello ahead of what Rocky Romanello may have believed in himself. And for me, that valuable lesson was, as a leader, sometimes you have to believe in your people until they're ready to believe in themselves. It could be experience, mm-hmm. or lack of confidence, or where they are in their life, or things going on in their personal life. But they want that additional responsibility. They may want that next level of promotion, but they may not feel ready. And so you, as the leader, often you have to believe in your people until they're ready to believe in themselves. And then there's a point where, okay, their confidence, their knowledge, their ability is there where they can kind of take hold of it and they can carry it through themselves. And that's when, as a leader, then you step back, right? They don't need you to overmanage mm-hmm. them. What they need at that point is for you to be their cheerleader. Great job. Keep up the good work. I'm really proud of you. Keep it going. You know, be there for them. So I think that that's really kind of that, you know, that whole succession plan for a person. You know, we both see something. You see something in yourself. We see something in you. But now, how do we make that happen? And it may be by us giving you that additional responsibility, but then being that person that's there to help you through that, to be the person that gives you the courage, gives you the confidence, gives you the knowledge, gives you the experience that you need until you're ready to carry for yourself. So I think that's so important, and that's really the joy of being a coach, a mentor. You start to see people grow and develop, and you kind of look back mm-hmm. someday and you're like, wow, it's just nice to think that maybe you made a difference in other people's lives.
You definitely did, Rocky, and all leaders do that work that way. So I was thinking, tell us a story, of course, anonymously, of someone that didn't really believe in themselves, but you knew their potential and you believed in them and how you encouraged them and where they went from this.
Well, I think it really always starts with identifying, because I think many times people are very difficult on themselves, right? They, you know, I think, and you're probably the same way with you. I mean, no one's harder on you than you, or you know, and so I think that that's the first step. But I often think about that, you know, that example, you know, years ago of, you know, the hockey goalie who lets the, you know, the puck goes in, and, you know, at that moment, the coach doesn't really need to pile on and say, hey, by the way, you got to stop all the pucks. At that point, it's the old, you know, Lifesaver commercial where the coach says, hey, it's okay, hands the kid a Lifesaver. Well, if you think about it for a second, you know, at that point, when a person's trying really hard, they're giving you all you know, everything they've got, but things just don't work out, they don't need you to pile on. Because when you talk to that goalie and you say, it's okay, you know, these things are going to happen, and he says, yeah, I'm really sorry, I'm going to try harder. Well, at that point, they've taken ownership. What they need is someone to help them through that process. They don't need somebody piling on. But when you have the goalie who says, hey, it's not my fault, the rest of the team's got to play defense. If everybody else was playing harder, I could have stopped that puck. Well, at that point, they're not owning the failure, right? They're not empowered. True empowerment's when people discipline themselves. And so when you have an employee or you have a person that you're working with who's taking ownership, they're disciplining themselves, they're harder on themselves than you are, that's when you really get to help them see clearly that, hey, look, you're going to make mistakes. It's okay. We're here to help you. As long as as long as what you do stems from an honest heart, you do things the right way because they're the right things to do. Those are all things that matter. And then you start to, and I can think of this one individual who was so difficult on themselves and put, you know, wanted to please so badly that their strength of, you know, being so difficult on themselves and wanting to please so badly became their weakness, right? They couldn't, you know, they started to just, you know, tear themselves down. I think that, you know, and for me, it was always trying to accentuate the positive, making sure that people understand it isn't always where you are compared to other people. It may be where you are from where you started. And if where you started, you've come a long way, it's okay to celebrate those successes. I think sometimes people are afraid to celebrate successes because, you know, then they think they're getting overconfident, or they're thinking, you know, the minute they get too confident, you know, things will start to fall apart or they'll jinx themselves. I think you just got to be able to have the appropriate amount of recognition, let people know they're doing well, help them through the difficulties, and understand them as an individual and understand their personalities to help them through, you know, the fact that they're so difficult on themselves. If someone's hard on themselves, you don't need to be harder on them than they are. They're already beating themselves up.
That's right. And I like the part about celebrating. I tell that to my clients because people, we all have goals. We all have things we want to accomplish. And sometimes when we've accomplished only part or maybe many things, we don't want to celebrate because we still got all those goals out there, right? But we're going to have goals all our lives till the day we die. So we might as well celebrate those ones along the way. I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a really, really good point. So what role does authenticity play in all of this, Rocky?
Well, I think that that's what people are really – evaluating when they're thinking about you, following you, listening to the things you're asking them to do, is, are you authentic? Are the things that you do stem from an honest heart? Do you have good intentions? Do you really care about them as individuals? And so I think that's what people are evaluating you on. The same way, you know, on the opposite we just talked about, are you evaluating them? You know, do they have the abilities and talents or desires to want to be, take on more responsibility, to maybe be another level inside an organization, to grow and develop as a professional and as a person? So you're evaluating them on that side of the equation, right? As the mentor, as the coach, as the leader, but they're also evaluating you. Are you someone I want to follow? Do I believe that you're authentic? Do I think that you care about me as an individual? Do I think that you're that kind of person that if I've tried and done the best I could and I fail, are you going to be that person that helps pick me up? Or are you going to be the person that just piles on? So that's, I think they're evaluating you as a leader and evaluating, do I want to follow you? Are you that type of individual someday I would like to emulate? You know, because I think sometimes you look back and when you've been in business a long time and you think back about some of the people that have touched you along the way, and it's interesting, everyone you've worked for or worked with touches you in one way or another. It may not be as deep or as wide as someone else, but everybody has some influence over you. It could be as simple as you know what, if I ever get that job, I'm never going to be like them. You know, we work for those kinds of people. And those are more the exceptions. But you've learned something. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to treat people that way, or I'm not going to have that conversation in that tone. And then there's going to be that rare exceptional person that, you know, everything they touch seems to turn to gold. And but mostly the people that you're going to that are going to impact you are really good people who work hard, want to do the right things, and are similar to you and I, that, you know what, we're not perfect, but we want to do well. We want to represent ourselves and our family. We want to be good, you know, we want to be good stewards of the businesses that we're working in. And so those people have as much influence, as much influence on you as both extremes do as well.
That's true. That's very true, Rocky. And I know how important it is to know deep inside that someone cares about you. It's not just about the money. It's not just about where you can get them. Really caring for your clients, really caring for the people you help. It's not a trick. It's just either you care or you don't. You're one of those people who cares, and that's one of the reasons that people look up to you as a leader. We're going to take a quick break, and if you'd like to call in and ask Rocky any questions, please feel free to dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start dialing now, and we'll be right back.
Some of us are not so lucky. Some very lucky. I researched and wrote the book, The Careless Driver, so that we as a nation could become lucky motorists. Motorists that don't hit animals, pedestrians, or other vehicles, ever. If there were no collisions, there would be no fatalities, no deaths on our highways and roadways. Please listen. You are invited.
Hello, it's Doc Indy here, your conscious life coach for women. As women, we're always taking care of everyone else, oftentimes to our own neglect. But I'm here to help you change that. I want you to go to mindfulhealthforwomen.com, that's with the number 4, so that you can book your free 30-minute coaching session, and we'll begin to address your mental, physical, and spiritual health. I look forward to speaking with you.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maury Mitchell, and we have special guest today, Rocky Romanella, and he is founder, president, and CEO of 360 Management Services and author of the book, Tighten the Lug Nuts. So, Rocky, what is the main message that you'd like to bring to the public today?
Well, I think the main message is live your values. We talk a lot about that in the book, Tighten the Lug Nuts. There's a lot of great leadership principles in there, but it really comes down to, you know, who you are as a leader. What are, you know, I always say there's three key questions you have to ask yourself as a leader. And I think companies have to ask themselves these same three questions. But today we're talking more specifically about authentic leaders. And as a leader, I think the three key questions you have to ask yourself is, who am I? What do I stand for? And what won't I compromise? And I think that's so important. And I think it's similar in a company, you know, who are we as a company? And what do we stand for? And if you think about companies who have gotten themselves in trouble, I think they probably, you know, number three was the one that probably, what won't we compromise? And if they had to do over again, I think we compromised that. But didn't we say we had integrity or honesty or, you know, those kind of things? And so I think that as a leader, though, those three key things are important. And that's part of, I think, you know, some of the things that we talk about in the book, you know, who are you as an authentic leader? You know, do you live your values? You know, do you leave that legacy of things are a little better because of, you know, my people better because of their time with me? Are our customers better because of their interaction with our company? You know, are the shareholders, stakeholders, are they better because we manage the business? We were stewards of the business. And I think that whole legacy piece is so important. And it's funny, you know, when I'll do my keynotes or I'm out there in the leadership training, especially with, supervisors or managers that are just coming into the business or I'm addressing, I do a lot at Seton Hall University. You know, you're addressing, you know, students just coming out into the business field, and they'll ask me, you know, questions about, oh, as you look back, you know, do you have any thoughts or suggestions? And the thing I always tell them is, you know, think about what is that word that you want people to describe you with at the end of your career. And it's funny, when you ask them that question, you know, they'll say, hey, shout out some words. You know, they'll use aggressive, energetic, you know, decisive, and all words that they think are important words for business. But then you say, then, well, no, but what's the word you want them to describe you? And so I'll, my example for me personally is thoughtful. I would like people to believe Rocky Romanella was a thoughtful leader. Now, being a thoughtful leader doesn't mean I gave the store away. I didn't hold people accountable. It doesn't mean that people always liked me or were happy with me at different times. But to me, what it meant is I thought through the consequences, how it impacted our people, our customers, and our shareholders, stakeholders. I thought about things from a wider scope than just, oh, this is going to get us new revenue, or this is going to be a profitable product, or this is going to, you know, help us hit some number. To me, the word thoughtful, and if you think about that and you work backwards from the word you want people to use to describe you at the end of your career, then you're filling in the blanks in everything you do. If you're a thoughtful leader, you treat people with dignity and respect. You think about how the decisions you make impact them both personally and professionally. You think about how the company's viewed, you know, as a good corporate citizen, those kinds of things. And that's that thoughtfulness. And so, you know, that's part of what I think, you know, the book will kind of gives you those aha moments to maybe take a step back and think through, okay, well, what do I want my legacy to look like? What is that word that I want people to use to describe me? And I think if those are very good conversations to have with yourself and to start to think about how do I want to be thought of, and how do I want people to think of me as a person, as a leader, as a mentor, and as a coach?
I love that. That's really powerful, using just one word to describe how you want to be described at the end of your career, the end of your life, whatever it might be. That gives me pause for thought. I'm going to have to think about that for myself. Thank you so much. And so,
well, I think you maybe for you it's probably the word authentic, right? I mean, maybe that's your word, authentic.
I think it may be, because I've had people say that to me, but that's really cool, which means my brand is right on, right? That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
There you go. Well, you know, Mari, that's another way of looking at it. It's your personal brand, right? And then, you know, think about a company. A company spends, you know, millions of dollars literally devoted to their brand and their brand identity and their brand promise. But as individuals, we have a brand as well. And so, for example, if your brand is authentic, well, then that's who you are, and your brand promise, then the things you do support your brand identity, and your brand promise. So I think that's a great way of looking at it as well.
Thanks so much. I love that. I have to think about that some more. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about Tighten the Lug Nuts. You know, your inspiration for it, why you wrote it, and what's the most important thing about the book for you?
So for me, the book was, I started to sit and think through the many lessons I learned along the way and experiences I had that made a difference. And I thought about, well, if I could put something down in paper and if I could leave that legacy in a book, that would be wonderful. Throughout my career, I never liked the feeling of when you brought me an idea, I would say, oh, that's a great idea, but what if? And so years ago, I developed this character, Joe Scafone. And so if you brought me an idea, or we're sitting in a meeting and someone had an idea for a new product or a new, you know, new venture or something new, a new approach to fix a problem, I may say to them, hey, that's a good idea, but do you think Joe Scafone thinks that's a good idea? And people would smile, but that was my way of challenging you not to stop at the first right answer. It was my way of saying, look, I'm going to challenge you to accept only your best, to look past that first right answer, but not in a way that made you feel, you know, well, defeated, or I didn't think you had a good idea, or wow, you know, I'm being critical. So Joe Scafone became that character. And so when I wrote the book, I did not want to write the book in the first person. I didn't want to write the book in a preaching way. I wanted to write the book with a lot of fun stories, a lot of stories that happened to me along the way, some stories that helped connect the dots, and I thought Joe Scafone would be the perfect character for me. And so the book is a book that has, you know, business lessons along the way, life lessons along the way. You'll smile and laugh. Every chapter has its own story, and it's written from this third person, Joe Scafone. So I think learning has to be fulfilling and fun. You know, we all work hard enough. Why not have some fun? Why not learn in a good, positive way? And so the book is was my desire to do it in that kind of style and that kind of format. And then finally, you know, two people were very influential in my life. My dad growing up, and so I talk a lot about my dad in the book and the values he taught me. You know, my dad told me one time, it was we're sitting there, and he says to me, it's what you do when no one's watching that counts. You know, and I said to him, Dad, you're killing me. That's the best part. No one's watching. And he said, nah. He said, there's always two people watching, the man upstairs and you looking in the mirror. And so that always stuck with me, that, you know, that I always have to answer for the things I do, and especially those things I do when no one's watching. And so I thought that was very powerful. And, you know, when I started my talk about how when I first started my job at UPS, he told me two things that stuck with me throughout my career. He said, hey, whatever they ask you to do, say yes and thank you, and then learn your job and learn some more. And so those are the things that influence he had on me. And in my adult life, no one has been more influential than my wife, Debbie. She's been just a fantastic friend, partner. We moved across the country 9 different times with my moves with UPS. Yeah. And so she's been, you know, just such a strong influence. And many of the things that we talk about in the book that are leadership lessons or those aha moments along the way in different chapters are from her. I mean, things that she said to me along the way, stories that, you know, that we've had together. So I thought it was also a nice way for me, in my own way, in my own style, to be able to recognize two very important people in my life.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I love your enthusiasm. I could tell by talking to you how much you love what you do, how much you love mentoring people and creating new leaders, you know, new leaders. The world keeps going. We need new leaders, younger leaders, as we get older and older, right? And then as we retire and leave it off to other peoples. But you have such an enthusiasm and such a joy for it. And I think that's one of your most precious gifts that you have. You really love what you do. And even you say when you were in UPS, you did whatever they asked you. You just said, yes, I'll do it. And that's such an amazing attitude, Rocky. I love that about you. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. You know, it's interesting you were saying before. So I originally went to college to be a high school history teacher and a baseball coach. And I thought, okay, and then I was working part-time at the time, you know, working my way through school to pay for my tuition. And I noticed that some of the best leaders, you know, were those type of leaders who get people to connect the dots, took the time to talk to their people and work with them. And so for me, I never gave up my teaching passion. The classroom for me went from the traditional classroom to a business, which now is my classroom. So that passion to teach, yes, the passion to help people connect the dots, was, you know, I've had, and of course I wanted to be a baseball coach, and so coaching, teaching, you know, that to me was always, you know, just so uplifting, and, you know, just gave me great enthusiasm. And so I think that's so, you know, that to me was, you know, just I extended my, you know, my teaching career went differently in that my classroom was a little different, but the passion to teach and help people see things, connect the dots, has always been there. So I think, like you, you know, we probably all had that innate desire to be a teacher. We just did it in a different classroom.
Right, exactly. I love that you point that out, because there's many places and to teach, and a lot of times you learn things outside the classroom more than you do in. So that's a great point. So let's talk about how we get a hold of you and your book.
Well, thank you for asking. So my book is a 5-star Amazon right now. It's doing very well. It's humbling to see it do so well. So it's on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it on our website, www.3and60managementservices.com. You can do it through the website. One of the other things we're doing this year is legendary coach John Wooden. I had the opportunity to sit with him probably close to 20 years ago now, if not then that many, and sat with him in his a condo in Southern California there. And he was a fan, an admirer of Coach Jimmy Valvano, who passed away from cancer. And so for every book sold, we are donating a dollar this year to the Jimmy Valvano Fund to find the cure. So that's sort of our way of giving back as well and helping out there. And so many of us have had family members touched, or friends, or a loved one touched with cancer. And so we're going to take a dollar and donate for every book sold to the Jimmy V Foundation. And Coach Wooden has obviously since passed, but I know he'd be proud of us continuing to support the V Foundation. And if if anyone's interested, if they're a fan of Coach Wooden, on my website, on my YouTube page, I actually have the hour interview I did with Coach Wooden. So if you want a chance to see that, go ahead to my webpage, on my YouTube page, on my website. It's great. It was just a great conversation with him. The interviewer made it wasn't so good, but Coach Wooden was outstanding. He was excellent to talk to, and it was a ton of fun for me, and it was such an honor to do that. So the website, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram at 360 Management Services. And on the website, it's very interactive. So I answer any of the contact questions that people have, or any information that you want. It comes right to me personally. It's RockyRomanella@gmail.com. So feel free to contact me through the website as well. I get people all the time. Will send me an email. This happened, or what do you think? And then I do a lot of book signings too, where people will say to me, hey, I have a group of people at work. During Christmas, we were doing a lot of 25, 30 books sent to me. I sign them. I ask them for the individual's names. I'll sign the books for them and ship them off for them. So it's an honor to do that. I know people enjoy signed copies of books. So if I can do that, or if you'd like to have a book club, I do book clubs where companies will buy the books and I'll dial in and we'll have an hour conference call and talk about a chapter or a thought in a book. So all those things that keep me interactive, keep me talking to people, and keep me, give me the ability to work with people and answer questions. To me, it's just a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been lovely having you, Rocky.
It's always a pleasure. And congratulations, by the way, Philippines and Costa Rica. That's fantastic. God bless you. That's great news. I was happy to hear that for you.
Thanks so much. And thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Catch us next time.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.